Let's open to 1 Thessalonians, if we can find that. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. While we're doing that, I want to thank everyone for just encouraging all of us here, and your emails are so appreciated, and there's just no words. Couldn't have made it without your encouragement and you guys is helping us online. I just want to encourage everybody to go to livinginhispresence.org and bookmark that. If something were to happen to YouTube, which we're hearing, I don't know if they're going to take down religious people yet, but it's coming. And I talked last week about cancel culture. Well, you know the goal of cancel culture is to cancel the Bible. So don't be naive, knowing that we're living in a day of the end times, and they're trying to even ban that. You can't say end times. You can't say prophecy. It's so much strange going on. But we encourage ourselves in the Lord because we're seeing birth pains. Aren't we seeing them? Of hatred, trouble, and violence spreading on the earth, just like the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. But here in 1 Thessalonians, I want to read a little bit of this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That's why I say we have to be filled with oil. For when they shall say peace and safety, and underline that, for when they shall say peace and safety, and how many know we just have had last year a peace agreement, the Abrahamic Accord just signed. This is history in the making right now. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Just want to encourage everybody to be watchmen on the wall, be watching what's going on. But then when you watch, some of you just got to shut that TV off. We don't let that just go. Some people are so brainwashed by that television. We watch spiritually what's going on. And the propaganda, you're going to have to figure it out, because there's coming a division like we've never seen. We're starting to see the edges of this division right now. People are for this or against this, or people, and this is what they want. Racial division, all kinds of division. So watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that when, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's good news right there. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Boy, that's a task, isn't it? To get everybody at peace among themselves? That's what we need to do. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil. You know why? Because the wicked will be rewarded according to their wickedness. That's God's job. We have to keep our hearts right. So we come before God and we forgive. As we stand praying, we forgive if we have aught against other. We've got to keep our heart full of love, because there's going to be a lot of hate and division that the enemy wants us to grab a hold of, and we just have to judge ourselves and make sure that we stay in the love of God. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, and every fellow man, and follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. So the Bible warns of a time when society will declare peace and safety. And we're starting to see that, aren't we? And I've been telling you that have been watching us for years about the one world religion. We're starting to see it. We started to see it. And I'm going to review just a little bit, but also keep you in mind that we are living in a part of the New World Order. A third of it is religion. It's not just, but it's going to be religious. And so we have to see that this is happening. But this will be a false peace and a worldly peace, unified in goals and agendas, blending with technology and merging with socialism. Now, I've shared with you before, but I'm going to get this just really quick here, how to create a social state, and I want you to see if we're seeing any of this in our day. This was by Saul Alinsky, but it was also Vladimir Lenin's, etc., we could say. 8 levels of control for world conquest. Number 1, healthcare. Control healthcare, and you control the people. Number 2, poverty. Bring people down to a poverty level because poor people are easier to control. Number 3, debt. Increase taxes, more poverty. Do we see the nations going in debt? Number 4, gun control. And why do they want to take away the guns? To create a police state. Number 5, welfare. What is welfare? Take control of the food, the housing, and the income. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. Education. Take control of what people read and what they listen to, or burn what they don't want. Get rid of libraries, get rid of history of things they don't want, and reframe it, reset things. Of what children can learn in school, what we're learning in college, what's allowed, what isn't allowed, what's allowed on television, what's allowed on social media. Number 7, religion. Remove the belief in God in the schools, etc. This Monday, I was with my granddaughter, and I took her to the swings, and she met a little friend there, and they were swinging. And I was just kind of in the background, and I heard this little girl scream out, "We don't believe in God. My parents don't believe in God." And because my little granddaughter was probably singing or asking if she went to church or something, and she goes, "We don't believe in God." And my granddaughter goes, "Are they evil? Are they evil?" And she just started, you know, witnessing to her in a really sweet way. But I just thought, a 7-year-old kid said that her parents don't believe in God. And I've never heard that come out of a child's mouth my whole life. And number 8, the last one here, is class warfare. Divide the people up. Have we seen any of that? Division. One of the things from last week that I shared, Hitler said the best way to conquer your enemies is to divide them. And one thing they love is to put 2 horses in a race so they win. The nation that had been seduced by propaganda was then headed for persecution. They want to cancel culture, but the goal is to get rid of the Bible. You know, we know that persecution, the Bible talks about that. But the laws always reflect a nation's priorities, their agendas, and their values. Right and wrong become whatever Hitler said it was. If he said it was wrong, and a law was put into place. And this is what we're seeing now. The experience of Nazi Germany reminds us that whoever controls a nation's laws, watch what the executive orders are being, controls a nation's agenda and their values. And then that's in Daniel 7:25, that they want to wear out the saints, change the times and the laws. And what do they use? They use the media. What is the media? The things you see, the things you hear on television and on different places. The media can shape the values of a culture. If you're not careful, they'll totally brainwash you and tell you what to think, tell you what's real and what's not real. So now we have a culture that's at war with the values of the past. Now in Matthew 13, I'll just read this one. 1 through 4. I've got a lot of scriptures here for you today. Matthew 13. He's talking about the sower sows the word in verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Goes on here. And then in verse 18, he's talking about, he that hath ears, let him hear. And he's talking about this whole parable. And this is one of the scriptures that I led my sister to the Lord with. that you're hearing you will hear and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. I said, you got to get born again. You got to get saved and you'll understand it. But right now, nothing I say is making any sense because you don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, or dull of hearing, some translation says, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. This is verse 14 and 15. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Wow. There are many who live in a pretend world, a world of make-believe. They're living in a fantasy, they're living in a dream, and they don't want to face reality. And we've been taught, if you don't like something, if you can't handle it, just go get drunk. If reality is too hard, just go smoke, go do this. Always escaping from reality. And there's a lot of people that can't cope with reality, and that's how they've learned to live, in a place that they want to comfort themselves. They live in a place of make-believe because they can't face reality and they don't know how to deal with real life. And it wouldn't be hard if we could really know truth and be faced with facts. But so many times we're not given truth. We're not given facts. We're just given in school what we're told to believe all the way through, right? How we're good little slaves. Most people aren't challenged on how they see the facts. Who challenges you? Who in your life also tells you, you know, maybe you're not seeing this correctly. You got to have a group that you can talk to. And it doesn't mean we always agree on everything, but it's good for someone else to come up and say, well, I heard this. Have you thought about this? Rather than just going always with what the media and the propaganda is, you've got to be able to critically think and try to research for yourself. Because ultimately, we all have decisions to make. And it's going to be based on what we see and what we hear, what we understand. And we don't want to be dull of hearing. And we don't want to hear the wrong things. We've got to make sure that our relationship is in tune and we're really walking with the Lord in these dark days. Because we're living in a day of sorcery. Convincing people that a lie is the truth. Now think about this. They killed people that operated in sorcery in the Old Testament. They received the death penalty. Now, Revelations 18:23 says, for your merchants, or you could put your architects, you hear the architects of the world, were the great ones of the earth. And all nations were deceived by your sorceries. And the reason sorcery received the death penalty in the Old Testament is that sorcery is a means of direct contact with the wicked spiritual forces, demonic. In Ephesians 6:12, it talks about, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not dealing with just people. We're dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. We're dealing with demonic spirits. And so sorcery, God was trying to protect his people, but sorcery always worked against the revealed will of God. God would tell his people to do this, and then the witchcraft and all the other gods would go against the will of God, and they would try to put him in with other gods and the nations of the other gods, the pagans worships. So the people of God were always fighting against what was true and what is a lie. That's why I like the Old Testament, because we're seeing some of the same things. And in the Molech and the gods, they always required a sacrifice, which most of the time was the oldest son, right? And they would require a sacrifice. They're still doing it today. Well, guess what? Jesus was our sacrifice. Amen. He's our sacrifice, so we don't have to sacrifice our oldest son to go up higher and stuff like this. This stuff is still around. It's been in secret and it's been hidden, but guess what? People are revealing who they really are. Logos are changing. And if you studied the logos, like I've been telling you, get your books on logos and go get back out, because logos are changing. And it's commercials. Everything is in your face now. Colors are changing. There's a lot about the United Nations, which is what, light blue and white? Watch the logos that have, with this reset, that are changing. I've done a little research on that. I wasn't going to get into that. But we've got to make sure that we have eyes to see. And we don't want to get to the point where we're always seeing the devil, but you got to know, people will tell you who they are. And that's why they use symbols. They use symbols so that, you know, and that's why I had to get rid of my fleur-de-lis 5 years ago, I just used it for design. I was in fashion merchandising, and it was a big fashion statement. And then people started challenging me on, do you know that that's also an emblem of this and that and this and that? And I said, oh, come on, they can't take everything. I mean, I did. I purposely fought that off. I was like, oh. And then I started doing more research, and then I started knowing about symbolism, and that's why we've changed it. You grow. We all grow. So there's two kingdoms on this earth, and this has to do with the church, and we're going to go here for a little bit. There are two kingdoms operating in the world, the kingdom of this world, 1 John 4:3, it's the spirit of Antichrist, which is setting up the kingdom on earth. The book of Revelation details this end times false religion sweeping the earth under the new system. There's been and is a war going on for people to understand the truth. So now we want to have ears to hear. What are we supposed to be listening? The new spirituality, the new world religion, it's a religion of their own making, is entering in now. We're starting to see it more and more. The new spirituality, the new age, the word of faith, the emergent, the progressive church, all these terms are using our terms against us. It's terms that we use and we think it's okay, but behind these terms there's a twisting. There's another meaning, and we're going to go through a few of those before I close here. Like the word kingdom. I've heard more and more people talking about the kingdom, and I was like, well, that sounds good, but what are they talking about, the kingdom? They're talking about the kingdom now, dominion on the earth, that Jesus doesn't have to come back because now they're preparing the kingdom now on the earth, where the Bible tells us that his kingdom is not of this world. Like the word kingdom, God's kingdom is based on the tree of life and a relationship. So we have a relationship with the Lord, but this Antichrist system, they're trying to build it and frame it for what? The coming of the Antichrist, right? So it's the spirit of the world. If you're a Christian and you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. We were going to church and we were deceived. We were taught to be blessed and to be rich is what God wanted. And we basically didn't even know what was going on in the world. We were so captivated 7 days a week in church, we didn't even know what was going on. And when you wake up out of that rabbit hole, you're like, wow, what happened? John 18:36 there talks about it. Let's read that for a second. One thing in verse 20, I like this. Jesus answered and said, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. God doesn't do things secret societies, behind closed doors, not letting people really know what's going on. He tells the truth. He's the light. He shines. So if you're doing stuff in secret, you know it's wrong. So here in verse 36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of the world, then would my servants fight? Because if he was of the world, he would have had all of his disciples. Everybody would have, remember when Peter took off that guy's ear and he's like, stop, and he put the ear back on. Why? Because his kingdom, it wasn't of this world. And when you get born into that spirit, that kingdom of God, it's a different realm. It's his realm, and we walk with him. But here now, what this happening with what this new world, this new spirituality, it's all based on stuff of the world we're going to get into in a second here. So we got to listen for the word kingdom, because they're using that word against us. So do you know what it means? The kingdom of darkness operates from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is Gnosticism, which is mysticism, which is experience-based. There is a kingdom being built for the Antichrist. Now, this book that I've shared from before, D is for Deception, The Language of the New Christianity by Kevin Reeves. I'm just going to go through a couple things and highlight a couple things. But again, thinking about the kingdom of God is not of this world. It doesn't matter how many cars you have, how many houses, that doesn't mean you're blessed. How is your peace and your walk with the Lord? How do you love people? How's the fruit of your spirits? Are you patient with people? Are you long-suffering with people? Can you forgive people? His kingdom is measured by fruits, not by all the stuff. Because if you have a bad car, you just didn't have faith. No, maybe you're wise and you just decided that you didn't need to spend that right now. But we got into judging everybody on stuff. It was so stupid. So to put that pressure on people just to come to church, it was so sad. But just a couple things about the emergent church, the like-minded, and I want you to notice the change agents. Change agents, not only in church, but also we're going to see it in the protesting. There's going to be change agents. They're defunding certain things. Change agents, they bring in a new kind of Christianity. They want the old Christianity to be gone. They want the old rugged cross to be gone. All of this stuff of the old, and they want to bring in a new. So what is this new they're bringing in? We're starting to see it now. Bringing in a new kind of Christianity, which is not biblical Christianity, but a new Christianity. It's now in the halls of Christian colleges. It's a scary thing to send your kids to school now, because they're not going to learn about the real Jesus. They've been overtaken. They've been infiltrated. And you need to know it. The seminary, the evangelical churches have been infiltrated, small groups, ministries, and organizations. And then he talks about the new Christianity in some words, but there's a great deal of confusion that resides in today's church because they do use terms against us, and we think they're talking about the same Jesus. Well, the Bible says there is another Jesus, there is another spirit, there is another gospel. And if they're preaching against this gospel, it's another gospel. But they use scripture, and so it confuses people. We were confused for years. We had a lot of help being confused. So I'm just going to read just a couple of them. Every time I do a few different ones. But as above, so below. This signifies that God is in everything and man is divine. Used in Eugene Peterson's book, The Message Bible, which I've gotten rid of, in the Lord's Prayer. As above, so below. That's an occultic thing, and it's little by little these things have been seeping in different books, and oh, it's just okay, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more words are changed, and a little more things are happening. The awakening. Have you been hearing about awakening? New spirituality proponents say man is waking up to the realization that he is God. When you talk about a great awakening, do you know that they're telling you that you have to evolve into godhood? This is not the awakening we want. This is a false revival. If you don't go back to my counterfeit revival and explain what all this is. But new spirituality, they say man is waking up to the realization that he is God and that divinity is within him. So they're awakening each other to the God who's already there. Well, awakening sounds good. Well, there's scripture that says we need to be awoke. So then be still. We all think that's scriptural, to take be still and know that I'm God. These promoting contemplative prayer use this phrase as part of their meditative exercises, claiming that the verse is a mandate in scripture to practice the silence, when in fact the scripture, when taken out of context, means to trust in the Lord. It has nothing to do with going into a meditative state by shutting down thought processes. So now here comes in this another whole religious spirit, another teaching. Christ consciousness. When you hear that word, this is New Age spirituality. Taught by New Agers to be the state of awareness, reached in meditation, in which one realizes one's own divinity. They're really stuck on that godhood thing. And oneness with God, therefore becoming a Christ or an enlightened being. Christ follower, now that sounds good. Well, in new spirituality, they have captured the term to say a Christian is a dogmatic, preachy, uncaring, you're going to hear a lot of this, irrelevant person, whereas a Christ follower doesn't preach or carry around a Bible, which they say makes unbelievers or the unchurched uncomfortable. Yeah. Christ followers. Now, the real Christ followers, we focus on relationships, but these people focus on community. Now, the community is a big thing now. Everything's community. I do not push Facebook, our Living in His Presence Church. We haven't even, they want us to boost it, and they want us to sign rules. So we stay little. I don't care to do that. So if you can't find us, that's why. We don't want to sign all these community rules. Christian yoga. Oh, don't touch that one. Yeah. Even the Hindu yogis say there's no such thing as Christian yoga because the exercises cannot be separated from the religious aspects. Yoga is the heartbeat of Hinduism. Dominionism. Can you handle a couple more? The belief that God's people will rise up as overcomers and put Satan and his minions under their feet. Not Christ's feet, under their feet. See the difference? With the declaration that Christ will return, not for his people, but rather already in them. Christ is in us. It's a whole different teaching. With the declaration that Christ will return, not for his people, but rather in them. No physical return. And they're overcomers. Ecumenicalism, the merging of the various Christian denominations and doctrinal persuasions, resulting in a delusion of biblical faith. In other words, water down all the biblical things, and we can all agree, and then we become an emerging church. What's an emerging church? It's postmodern congregations, postmodern. Get rid of the old, get rid of the cross, get rid of the Bible. Follow a loose set of doctrines, promoting a redefinition of Christianity. We've been seeing this for the last 15, 20 years, maybe 10 strong, 5 strong. The focus is on social justice and cultural relevancy rather than the gospel and the word of God. Social justice, socialism, social scores, social media, it's been creeping up. Right. Remember I started off with how to create a socialistic state? Socialism. The kingdom now, a teaching that Christians should be walking consistently in their supernatural power and establishing Christ's kingdom on earth. Much of it is demonic signs and wonders that they're doing. Much overlap exists between kingdom now, dominionism, and the latter reign theology. We talked a lot about the latter reign and the false doctrines of William Branham. He is resurrected again. Many people say he was such a great teacher. Well, if you study, he was definitely of the occult. And you can look at his grave and see what symbols he's got on his grave. That's quite interesting. I've learned not to just follow anybody. In fact, I'm getting to the point where I don't trust a whole lot of people. I'm like, oh boy, I like this part of his book, but I can't recommend that book because that part's pushing another agenda. Now, the kingdom of God, this is what I wanted to talk to you about. The new spirituality believes the kingdom of God can be brought to earth through humanity becoming one. We all become one. This is the kingdom of God, they say. And that God loves everyone. And God chases after you wildly. He has reckless love. He's chasing after you recklessly. It's a kingdom based on the unity of all mankind and man realizing his divinity. There's no cross in this kingdom. In fact, the cross is mocked. The New Apostolic Reformation. And I have a whole teaching on that one, teaches that there are apostles and prophets today in the church who are equal to or greater than the apostles and the prophets who wrote the Bible, and that come into the fullness of Christ, the church needs to submit to them. Teachings include varying degrees of latter reign, fivefold ministry, dominionism, and kingdom now theologies. And it is rampant today. It is leaven. And two more. Social justice. You need to hear this because this is big now in churches. And I say run. Run as fast as you can. I hope you still can run. Move a little bit, you guys. Okay, shifts the emphasis from repentance and faith in Jesus Christ to more earthly endeavors, like in the environment, empowerment, employment, equality, esteem-building programs promoted by the elites to benefit or punish selected groups of people as needed for its sustainable development. Social justice and sustainable development are together. An agenda more in keeping with that of a community organizer. Watch out for the community organizer. What are they called to do? Agitate, create confusion, create division within a community. Saul Alinsky's teachings. Keeping more with a community organization than the follower of Christ. There's a whole bunch in here, but I'm going to stop with the universalism because these are things that are in focus right now. Universalism, a universalist belief, states that every human being will be reunited with God, the shack, those kind of teachings. Everyone will be united with God, whether they believe in Jesus Christ or not. A universalist belief also embraces the idea that every human being has divinity or God within them. All right. And lastly here, unity that compromises doctrine is not true unity. It's a setup. It's a setup. We must be sober and alert. Sober and alert for these terms as they start creeping up in people's sermons. You have to be alert. You have to have eyes to see and ears to hear what's going around you and what you're listening to. And just a little review. They will do away or twist the Bible and go by experiences. And now we have new revelations. And this has been going on through the whole Word of Faith. They see Jesus. Jesus tells them a new revelation. And now they don't have to pray to God. They command their angels to go. And now they have these great relationships with Abraham, who's dead, and all these different people. That's necromancy, and that's forbidden. So it contradicts what the Bible says. But boy, it sure was exciting, wasn't it? That guy went on a rig to heaven and came back and, whew, sold a lot of books. Wow. They discredit the Bible on every side. They'll use the Bible, but they discredit it. If you have ears to hear, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear them diss the Bible, or they'll take out certain scriptures. And this is why you have to know your Bible in these end times. They will say they have new things from his round table prophets and apostles. That round table is quite interesting, isn't it? The new Jesus is just reckless. He just has reckless love. And people are singing that. God does not have reckless love. And they say he just chases after you and requires nothing back from you except just love. The Bible tells about what we're supposed to be doing, and we walk in obedience to him. And there's a day we have to answer to him. Even our words, we're going to have to answer to him for what we've been saying, right? So we walk in the fear of the Lord. If you don't walk in the fear of the Lord, you have no boundaries. The new Jesus doesn't like the old order because it's a bunch of Pharisees. They'll say you're a Pharisee and you're religious. If you want to go according to the Bible now, this new spirituality will say you're a Pharisee and you're religious. And you don't know how cool this Jesus really is. I mean, just look at some of the preachers. They're so cool. They have just coolness, you know, this cool Jesus. This Jesus gets high on the ghost and gets drunk. All the time, this new Jesus. Just get high in the ghost, you know. This new Jesus. This new Jesus blends with culture and is for the common good. For the common. That word common, social, all these words. And lastly, the kingdom of God, the new age style, cancel Christianity. They cancel the Bible. They're going to say you're mentally ill. They're going to say all the stuff that we've heard. Persecution is coming for the church. But we have to be ready for it. We have to not be like thinking, we're just going to follow the culture and blend in with the culture. And this is what is going to happen to a lot of people. They're just going to be swept away. And they're going to be under a great delusion, the Bible says. We hate the old church and the old order of doing things. Now we got to have a cool Jesus, a reckless Jesus, a Jesus that's drunk. He's not sober, but he's drunk. I mean, he really, you come and you just laugh all day. You don't get taught the word, but boy, we had some experiences, didn't we all? We're going to do away with the Bible and go by experience and new revelations, because after all, this Bible is outdated. It's not relevant. It was written by a man. Now they say God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And where do you find out what he's doing? Well, you got to stay on edge. You got to listen to the prophets. You got to listen to the new prophets on the round table. We are one with the world and this kingdom. We blend with culture. We focus on material things. How spiritual are, depending on what kind of a car you drive. If you have Volkswagen faith, wow. I mean, we were told what kind of faith we had. I know this is a long time ago, but you only have bug faith. I mean, we have Mercedes faith. It's poor people that just wanted Jesus, they got a bunch of junk, didn't they? So no negativity is this kingdom's language. Positive only. No negativity. You know why? Because then you won't repent. Well, that's negative. Well, hell, that's negative. We're all going to heaven. We follow the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We like going to the courts of heaven and astral project to the third heaven and fight our own cases. Have you heard that? Let's go to the courts of heaven. And boy, I tell you, you know, we thought we were going in the glory, but we were astral projecting. It's just hard repenting in front of people all the time. We do away with judgment, hell, and eternal damnation. We go by what angels tell us now. This is what they say. The angels tell us. I was listening to the lady. I won't tell you who, but I sent it to you just so you could laugh at the end. But you had to endure all the other stuff. She says, I can't even let people know where I am because I'm like John the Baptist. She goes, the people would just, they'd want to find me and I have to run and hide and I can't be out in public and I only eat one meal a day. She's so spiritual. We all eat all day long. And she just I'm just saying how this is so sad that people follow these people. She's so spiritual. She's like John the Baptist. And I was just like, all of her prophecies are not coming true, but here she goes off with something new. And it's just like, this was just last week. She didn't learn that all of her prophecies last month didn't happen. The people she said were going to be in office aren't. It's just a delusion. It's a spirit. And people are following. The number of viewers these people have are unbelievable. They're following more of the false. And when you try to tell them, they think there's something wrong with you because you just don't want to have a good time and a good experience and a good revelation. We got to come back to the real Jesus and face reality and have eyes to see and ears to hear what's really happening in our day. Get facts. Fact check yourself. Don't let them fact check you. They fact check you according to their agenda. And what happens, there's another whole side you don't ever see or hear, right? So, Father, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear in this time that we live and that you encourage your people. They feel alone. They feel lonely. They feel like it's such a narrow path. A lot of people don't relate to them. I encourage them tonight, Father, that you see them, that you strengthen them, that you give them courage to say and do what they're supposed to say and do. Our time is not over. We're still here. You've given us your word and your light. And we thank you, Father. We are children of the light. And we don't walk in darkness. We don't walk in confusion. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. And be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main web page at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
prepared.